I got it now.
I do need help, but I got a plan.
I can't provide that kind of.
I know. No one can. It's called dementia. Okay, I gave you some things up here on the Bible. On the brain is not working. Engage brain. Okay. That has to do with the genealogies mentioned in Matthew and Luke, because they're different. And as I was saying, I heard some of the most terrible things on these specials. Fox had a special, and they were going to the birth of Jesus and where he was born. And as usual, they got preachers on there that know absolutely nothing about the Bible. And I'm going to tell you where these preachers are coming from first, so you know what's going on in the world. They're not preachers. Well, they are preachers, but I heard things like Mary Magdalene was an apostle. And we're going to take a look at that too this morning. She was not an apostle. The Bible tells us who they are, how many they are, what they're designed for. She was not an apostle. Christ was born not in Bethlehem, they said. He was born here. Mary Magdalene and Christ were married, and they had illegitimate children before that. Where did this guy come up with this? I don't know. But he was one of the so-called knowledgeable theologians that they had on one of these channels to tell us about Christ. And I was so angry I could have strangled these guys if I'd have got my hands on them. And I really honestly could have. Mary was a virgin. She had no other children. And the account given in the Gospels, it was not really her children. They were cousins of Jesus. What a joke. And Christ was, I heard this too, Jesus was a terrible child. He was mean and I don't know where this guy came up with this one. But as he grew older, he grew out of that disgust. Oh, my. And another guy says Matthew was just a parable. That's why they didn't agree with Luke. It was just a parable. The whole book of Matthew was a parable. That's a joke. They contradicted where Christ was born, the time he was born, which is irrelevant. All these things were contradicted. And the Gospels were not written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't know who wrote them, this guy said. But they weren't written by Matt. They were written by, we don't know who wrote them. Those names were just put in. Okay, fine. All these terrible, terrible things. But we're going to look at some of the things this morning so you'll know what you're talking about. So when you see this kind of tripe, no matter where you see it, you'll say, well, that guy's wrong. I know what the Bible says about that. So we're going to take it. Let me tell you where it begins. I gave you a bunch of verses up here. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. You all know this verse. We went through this many, many times. But I'm going to tell you where this garbage begins. I have another word for it, but if I use the word, you probably would never come back. So I won't use it. Four little words is where this garbage begins. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, Satan, was more subtle than any beast of the field. By the way, be prepared to move in your Bibles. We're going to cover some verses real fast, so get ready to move. More than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, four words, now get them, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Whenever the Bible is contradicted, it's the same, yea, hath God said. Where does it come from? Satan. Mark it down. The Quran came from Satan. The Quran is, yea, hath God said. The Book of Mormon came from Satan. Yea, hath God said. Almost every church on the face of the earth is a, yea, hath God said. Jesus said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Every church that I can think of questions that. Are we allowed to question the Bible? Yes. We have a right to do that. However, if we question the Bible, we have to keep some things in mind. Now, go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, if you will. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Satan hates the Bible. It's always, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Anytime the Bible comes into question, and it always comes from Satan. Yea, hath God said, verse 25, Daniel chapter 7. Satan is working on changing the Bible. He wants to eradicate the Word of God, wants to change it all completely around to fit his own self. And when he says, yea, hath God said, he's changing things around to suit his own self. Verse 25, and he, that's the Antichrist, who is indwelled by Satan, shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Do you ever feel wore out by all this gust stuff? I do. Wears me out. You know what gets me is they get these guys on there to explain all this to us who aren't even saved. They're demonically inspired. That's where this stuff comes from. But they're going to explain to us. Yeah. Wears me out. And think to change the times and the laws. What is that? That's the Word of God. Satan is in the process of changing it, making it mute. It's not going to mean anything. It's not going to amount to anything. You can't trust the Gospels. We don't know who wrote them. Also, there's a Gospel of Mary out there somewhere. We don't know where that's at, but, you know, it's a lot of junk. She was not an apostle. She did not write one of the books, and so forth and so forth. Change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. Eventually, it'll happen during the seven-year tribulation. The entire Bible will be absolutely useless. It won't be used. It'll be changed 100% into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, the seven-year tribulation. But he's in the process of working on it now, and he's doing a good job. They only had one preacher that I saw on any of these shows, and he was the president of the Moody Bible Institute. He was reasonably good, but they didn't give him a chance to say much. They put Father O'Reilly on there, and Deacon this guy, and I don't know who they were, but they had their religious garbage on, but that's about all it amounted to. And I'll tell you, it's pretty disgusting. Now, if you will, turn over to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Turn back in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Okay, we're going to cover a lot of territory this morning, but I want you to know where this stuff is coming from. If I'm going to know the difference, whether it comes from the Bible or whether it comes from Satan, if I want to know, then I have to have a little discernment. And Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, talks about mediums or fortune tellers, basically is what it is. And then in verse 20 it says, to the law, that's the Word of God, and to the testimony, the Word of God, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I'll tell you what, every one of those people I saw on TV, on every one of those channels, I watched at least five different programs, there was no light in them. Satan is very busy. No light in them. Why? Because they're just plain not saved. Then I've got some more verses for you. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, if you will, all the way back to Acts chapter 17 here, back in the New Testament. What am I supposed to do when confronted with all of this stuff? Well, I have an option. Chapter 17 of the book of Acts, verse 10. Verses 10 and 11, Acts chapter 17. Remember, the Bible will always come in question. Do I have a right to question it? Yes, but I'm obligated to do this in verse 10 of Acts chapter 17. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, that's the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And this is what they did. Listen, search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. When something comes into question, get into the Bible. Dig into it. God's word is perfect. It's not contradicting. All you have to do is learn it. Study it. Get into it. Study to see whether these things are so. Now then, let's go over to, we could go to a lot of places. We could go to 2 Thessalonians, but we won't do that. Just write those down. Take a look at those at home, if you will. Let's go over to, probably 2 Timothy, if you will. How about 1 Timothy on your way over there, chapter 4? Go over to 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and then we'll go back over to 2 Timothy. Remember what we read in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. It's demonology. It's fortune-telling. God hates it, and this is the reason God hates it. In the Old Testament, God said, when people got into that stuff and the fortune teller, they needed to be stoned to death. Well, give me the stones. I'll be glad to help them out. Give me a bucket of stones. I'll be glad to help them out. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Does that sound familiar? And commanding to abstain from meats or foods, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. Don't eat a Big Mac. You'll put on weight, and you'll probably die of overweight, and it's all McDonald's fault. Don't buy a gun from Walmart, because that gun will kill you. It's nobody's fault. It's the gun in Walmart. They sold it. That gun's alive, got a mind of its own, it'll kill you. You know that they're suing Walmart now? Somebody's suing Walmart because this lady bought a gun, her daughter bought a gun, and committed suicide. So it's Walmart's fault. And you know what? Some liberal, stupid jury will award them the money. I can't believe what a crazy society we live in. It's the gun's fault and Walmart's fault. They shouldn't have sold her the gun. Unreal. So anyway, forbidding to marry, which God have given. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, etc. Turn over to 2 Timothy, if you will. Chapter 3 here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 1. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. You know what? Some of those people I saw on TV were just all puffed up. Well, we know the Bible, and we know that Jesus was the... Oh, Jesus. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, from such turn away. For this, of this sort are they who creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And here's the verse that covers the whole thing. Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, almost every one of these people I saw on TV had a doctorate in theology. They were brilliant theologians. Bill?
They were professors.
Yeah, professors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, theologians. Yeah. And God says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they'll sure tell you a lie, though, won't they? If you're not smart enough. Now, the questions are, and we could go to a lot of other verses. I may even give you some here. No, I don't think I will. You should know these verses anyway. Some of the questions. Mary Magdalene, was she an apostle?
Nope.
No. If she isn't, though, how do I prove it? I go to the Word of God. So go to Matthew chapter 10, if you will. You need to be able to prove it, so I'm going to show you how. I will give you some verses. Write these down. Look these up when you get home. These have to do, and this is a description of those men who were on television telling us what the Bible said, which the Bible didn't say, because everything they said contradicted what the Bible said. But I want to give you two places. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13, 14, and 15. Look these verses up when you get home. You'll be amazed at the description of these preachers. There's a preacher called by the name of Barry Lynn,
who was the second one you gave.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13, 14, 15. That's a description of the preachers of Satan. So when you get time, look those up. We were going to take a look at those, but we're not going to take time to do that this morning. Anyhow, Matthew chapter 10. And you only need one place to go, and one of these days you're going to look this up, and there are other references. But notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. I hope it's what I said. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Now, these are also called the apostles. 12. Notice what he said. He gave them power against unclean spirits and cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now he gives us the names of the 12. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publicans, tax collectors, James, the son of Alphaeus and Alebius, whose name was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. 12. Was Mary Magdalene mentioned there?
No.
No. Now, we know that Judas was a false apostle. We know that. But we also know that that the Lord Jesus Christ chose Paul in the book of Acts. 12. Judas hung himself, a false apostle. Jesus knew that. We know that. It's very simple. And Paul was the 12th. Why would he have 12? Turn over to Matthew chapter 19, if you will. And go to verse 28. How do we know there are only 12? You know, many people say, well, there are probably 13 or 14. And not only, you ever hear the apostolic church? They claim to be apostles? I don't think so. There's only 12. They are named. And this is how we know there are only 12. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Talking to his 12, and Jesus said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, that is the regeneration, will be when he sets up his kingdom, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. How many apostles? 12. And what are they going to do? Sit upon 12 thrones. Doing what? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How many apostles are there? 12. Was Mary one of them? Oh, I don't think so. Did she write a book called the Gospel? Who knows? She may have. But if God wanted it in the Bible, it would have been there, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Now let's go, if you will, back and answer another question. Did Matthew and Mark, or Matthew and Luke, conflict? Was there a conflict there? And if you go and read the genealogies, let's go back to Matthew, if you will. Now, I've got the verses written down for you. Beg your pardon? No.
No, not I don't have the Matthew part. But here's what I want to point out. So look up here, if you will. God told David that his throne would be established in Israel, and there would be a king on the throne. What did we just read about the regeneration and when Christ sits on the throne? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, he told David, he said, a king is going to sit on your throne. And then you can read about it once again in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. That prophecy was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Who was the king? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll go back to Luke here, if you will, in a minute. But I want you to notice something. The genealogies given in Matthew go through Solomon. And the genealogies given go through Nathan. Both sons of David. On the genealogy of Solomon, Joseph was born. But on the genealogy of Nathan, Mary was born. Now, the Bible says that Joseph was in that line. So let's go to Luke. We probably should go to Luke chapter 1 here, probably, I guess. But I want you to understand this and have a good understanding. So if you ever happen to watch these idiots on TV, you won't be led astray by it. First of all, let's go to Luke chapter 1. I want you to look at this here. Verse 32, if you will. All a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And it says here, He shall be great, that's Christ, and shall be called the Son of the Most Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So in order for Jesus Christ to rightfully sit on the throne, he had to be in the royal line of David. In order to do that, the mother Mary, the father Joseph, had to be born in the royal line of David. So God miraculously did that. All the way from David down to Joseph, all the way from David down through Nathan to Mary, and Christ was born unto them, the royal bloodline. And then in Luke here, let's see if I can find my place. In chapter 3 here, look in verse 23. And this is where the false prophets try to get it all fouled up. But look in verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli. Now, wait a minute. Matthew doesn't say that, does it? Matthew says Joseph was born on the genealogy of Matthew. Why would the Bible say that? If he wasn't his son, we say that Mary was born in that line. And the reason the Bible says that is because it was simply Jewish tradition. It was simply Jewish tradition. And we could probably give you an example. Maybe I will. Go to Genesis chapter 38, if you will. Hold your place. We're going to come back here. I think this is where I want to go. I'll find out when I get there. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 38, we have the account. By the way, we may take a little closer look at that if we have time. Notice in verse 6, Genesis chapter 38, and Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar, T-A-M-A-R. Now that became his daughter-in-law. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and so forth and so forth. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. And then in verse 11, then said Judah to Tamar, that was his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house. What did he call her? It's not her father. It was simply Jewish tradition. So when the Bible says that Joseph was the son, or the father was Levi, or what was his name again? Not Levi. Heli. Short for helicopter. It was simply Jewish tradition. Had absolutely, if you read the genealogies, you know that Mary had to be born in that line, because if you go back to Matthew, then Joseph, his father, begot him. So you can't be begotten by two people. See, and it's simply Jewish tradition for the mother to be called, for the father-in-law to be called the father on either side. Simply Jewish tradition. It's that simple. We had a lot of other questions, too, and Matthew takes one route. Luke takes one route, but it always goes back to the same place. Let's follow this on down in Luke chapter 3 here, and it goes all the way back to somewhere here we see I wanted to point something out. Verse 32. Who was the son of Jesse, who was the son of Obed, who was the son of Boaz, who was the son of Salmon. I want to point that out because Boaz married a lady by the name of Ruth, who was not even a Jew. And the only place you'll find that mentioned is in Matthew. You have four women mentioned. And somebody always is going to throw this out, but usually in Jewish genealogies, the women were never mentioned. It was always the man. But the reason God did that in Matthew, and you need to know this, is because God wants you to see to what depths he would reach, to bring forth Jesus Christ. Remember Tamar. She was the mother of two illegitimate children by her father-in-law. And yet she became part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's terrible. Why not? Jesus Christ died for sins, didn't he? He was born into it, wasn't he? And so then you have the account of Boaz, who took Ruth, a Gentile woman, to be his wife. And she's mentioned in the Bible. Well, God, you know, God is a righteous God. But for someone to deny and reject and so forth, the Word of God, it's just disgusting, especially when you can understand it, when it makes sense, when you learn it, you know. Most important thing we need to know, though, is where does this garbage come from? It comes from Satan. It comes from, it's demonology. That's why God said in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, two familiar spirits. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, and if God's Word is contradicted, it comes right from the very beginning. Yea, hath God said.
hath God said? He sure did. He said that Jesus Christ,
and the reason we have all this written in Matthew and Luke is to prove that God fulfills prophecy. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the one who will sit on the throne of David.
Is he on that throne today, by the way? No. No, he has a right to the throne. He will sit on the throne, but he's not on that throne yet today. Let's go back to Matthew, if you will, here. One other thing I want to look at, and that's in, let's see here, Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 53, 4, 5. Was Mary really a virgin? Did she die a virgin? Did Jesus Christ have brothers and sisters? Yes, he did. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Let's begin there. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, from where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son, Joseph? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Now listen, in this context, cousins and nephews would never be mentioned. They were talking about his immediate family, trying to show that he was a human being, just another man, and he had brothers and sisters. They are not cousins. They're not distant relatives. And then they are named here, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters, how many sisters do you have? I don't know, but more than one. Plural, his sisters, are they not all with us? No, Mary did not die a virgin. She was just a normal human being like everybody else. The Bible also says, blessed art thou among women. The Bible never says above women. It never says that. Blessed art thou among women. By the way, if you're in here and you're a woman, then and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are blessed among women. You know that? You're not blessed above women. You're blessed among women. And if you're a father and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're blessed among men, not above men, but among men. You know that? And so Mary was just a saved, born-again Christian like you and I. Sure, she was blessed. To her was born the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. But not above women, among women. You are blessed among women because the Lord and Savior was born unto you. Matter of fact, she called herself let's go to Mark, if you will, and take another look at the same verse. Mark chapter 6. By the way, did you know what Jesus was? He was a carpenter, too. Did you know that? Yeah. I'm a wood butcher, but he was a carpenter. Chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? The brother of, now pay attention to this, the brother of, not the cousin of, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not his sisters, not cousin, not nephew, not friend, brother. So the man who made that statement on television, I would have stoned him to death too if I'd have had a bucket of stones. Problem is, I'd have put a hole in my television and just ruined my whole day. Turn back to Matthew, if you will. And I want you to look at something here in Matthew. Chapter 2. Verse 1. And I want to explain something here that these men also had all fouled up. You ever see a Christmas card with the three wise men, and supposed to be this relating to this story here, the wise men? Anyhow, chapter 2, verse 1 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? What were we saying?
king of the Jews. What's he going to do? Sit on the throne of David. If you understand that doctrine, the rest of it explains itself. He is the king born to sit on the throne of David. That's why you have the two genealogies, one in the line of Joseph, one in the line of Mary. He is the king to sit on the throne of David. That simple. And because Joseph was mentioned as the father of Heli, simply Jewish tradition, Mary was the one who was born to Heli. Joseph was the son-in-law. Jewish tradition said that Heli became his father. It's that simple. Anyhow, the king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. On down, if you will, look in verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. Verse 11. And when they were come again into the house, they saw that. Now here's the contradiction. In Luke, we have the Lord Jesus Christ being born in a manger, right? Oh, by the way, let me point out the wise men were simply stargazers. And because it doesn't say there was 1, 2, 3, 10, I don't know how many there were, but they were simply stargazers, astrologers. That's what they did. They studied the stars. And they followed one particular star to Jerusalem, looking for the king of the Jews that was to be born. And then when they got there, they didn't come to Bethlehem. They come to Jerusalem in order to fulfill prophecy, because they had to come to Herod so Herod could fulfill prophecy, whatever. But in verse 11, they went into the house. Now, I heard one of the men on TV say, well, you know, Luke said he was born in a manger, and here he was born in a house. Yeah. Well, we don't know where he's at. What a joke. The wise men were late. It's that simple. They were late. You know how far it would, following this star, they got there late. Now, pay attention to this, if you will. There was no room for them in the inn, because all the people, all the generations that were still living, had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed. I mean, it was packed. There were, I don't know how many, thousands and thousands of people into this town of Bethlehem because they were there to be taxed. The Roman government said, you need to be taxed. We need to know how many in your family. You need to be registered so you can pay taxes on all your children. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yeah. It's called socialism. Increase your taxes. Anyway, so they were all there. There was no room for them in the inn. I personally believe the word is house, because all the families were there. Now, a few days later, they were all taxed. All the registration was complete. Almost everybody had gone home except Joseph and Mary. They remained. So now there was room for them. It was after the birth. Probably, I don't know how long, 3, 4 days, maybe a week, maybe a month. How do I know? But it was later. The wise men were late. And then when they got to Jerusalem, they had to walk down to Bethlehem again, which was probably a day's journey. They were late. It's that simple. There's no contradiction. All you have to do is use simple logic. Just use simple logic. They followed a star. The star led them to Jerusalem. Had the star led them to Bethlehem, they might have got there in time. But it led them to Jerusalem on purpose, intentionally, to fulfill prophecy, so that they could tell Herod about the new king, so he could have all the two-year-olds slayed. Why would he go to 2 years old? It could be that Christ was 2 years. Maybe 2 years had passed since the birth of Christ. I don't have any idea. All I know is he's not in a manger, he's in a house. Let me ask you a question. If you had a child in a manger, how long would you stay there? Not very long, would you? Wouldn't you get out of the manger as soon as you could and be in a comfortable place to take nurse your child? Yes, you would. So it's only logical that the wise men, if they'd have probably been 12 hours late, they would have been out of the manger in the house. If they'd been 8 hours late, I doubt very much if Joseph and Mary stayed in that manger much more than the rest of that night. The next day, after all the taxation was taken care of, they moved into a house. I mean, think about it. All of the family of the household of David was in Bethlehem. Think about it. The household, look at all the people that were in this genealogy and this genealogy. Do you know how many people that there were relatives of Joseph and Mary lived in Bethlehem? Thousands. Somebody had to have a place for them to live in, right? There had to be a bedroom somewhere. So they moved out of the manger into the house, and by the time the wise men got there, that's where they were. Isn't that simple? Why say the Bible contradicts itself? Because it's easy to say, yea, hath God said. It's easier to say, yea, hath God said, than to get into the Bible and learn it, isn't it? You know, these so-called theologians and professors that Bill saw, these college professors are satanic. They're demonically inspired. They don't know the Bible, and I'll bet you they don't even read it. I'll bet their Bible's got dust all over. I was talking to somebody here one time, and I said to him, I probably shouldn't have. I said, do you have the Bible in your home? And they said, yeah. And I said, go blow the dust off of it and bring it here. That's not a very nice thing to do, but I don't know. They probably did. You know what? Pick up your Bible and study it. If you don't know, if you see anything, you have a right to question the Bible. But if you can't answer the question, then find somebody that can. Because God does not lie. He did not lie about the birth of Christ. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There were only 12 apostles, and there was a reason for it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That simple. Mary Magdalene did not write a gospel. If she did, it would have been satanically inspired, and she probably did, but I don't think she did. I think it was written by somebody else, put her name. Anyway, it's not the Word of God. Just study the Bible. It's accurate. It's true. You know, I usually don't like bringing Christmas messages, but when I heard this garbage on television, I said, you know what? I hope none of the people in our church heard that, because if they do, they need straightened out. And if they didn't hear it, they need to be able to defend it. Do you not? It's very simple. The reason you have the accounts is because of the throne of David. Jesus Christ was born to sit on the throne of David, and he died on the cross, giving him the right to sit on the throne of David. His blood gave him the right to sit on the throne of David. Someday he will. The sooner the better, in my opinion, because I'll tell you what. I hate this political garbage, don't you? I really do. It's socialistic. I heard that they were saying something, but when this tragedy took place in overseas there, that George Bush didn't react fast enough. He was doing this. You know what? I'm an American citizen. I'm proud to be an American. And I get sick and tired of people in this world, especially the United Nations, criticizing my country. The United States, George Bush is representing me, just like Bill Clinton represented me. So-and-so, I may not like all those people, but they represent me. And when you criticize my government, and my government, and initially they were going to send $35 million, more than any other country, but that wasn't enough. You're the richest country in the world. You can give more. And then right on the other hand, they call us this and call us names and call us, I'm sick and tired of it. And I keep saying, Lord, why don't you deal with these people? Well, I don't understand why he doesn't, but I know he will.
He's a very guy in the United Nations that did that. He's from Sweden, and over half the people were suicidal because they don't have enough food and water.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got people like Kofi Annan. The world just loves him. He's the most sinful human being I've ever seen. And I get literature in the mail from various organizations to prove what I'm saying. You know. But I feel sort of like Habakkuk did. Let me just read one verse, a couple of verses here, and then we'll close this morning. Satan is busy. In 2 Thessalonians, I got the verse written in chapter 2, verse 11. Someday, this world will believe the lie completely. This is the same lie that was promoted all through the Christmas holidays about those religious leaders with all this puffed-up knowledge who were going to explain everything to you and I. And if we'd have been fools and we didn't know the Bible and we didn't have the common sense and logic, we'd have believed everything they told us. And I know a lot of people did. I'm sure a lot of people did. But you know, Satan is very, very busy. He's not only busy trying to destroy the Word of God, he's busy trying to destroy the very fragment of our society. And sometimes I get angry, and here's what reminds me of. Habakkuk said,
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Do you ever feel that way? And I see all these things that are said about our country. We give $35 million, then we upped it to $135 million. The nation of Israel went over there to help. Did you hear this? They went over to help, and because there were some Muslims in that country, they said, we don't want your help, because the Muslims said, we don't want you here. You know what? Kick those damn Muslims out. That's what I say. Those evil, rotten people, they're evil. You can say anything you want to, but they're evil. They love to hate. They don't want a peace. They don't want any peace at all. They'll go out of their way to destroy it. But anyway, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Sometimes you feel that way. The Lord just doesn't hear when all this stuff takes place. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grief? The biggest iniquity I can behold, or I see, is false religion, false doctrine being promoted in all of our churches. All of our churches. And cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those who raise up strife and contention. Not only do they do it in our political society, they do it in all aspects of our life, in our family life. You know, there are those that are out there to destroy our family life. There are agendas out there to destroy our family life. And they cause strife and contention. False religion does it all the time. Does it all the time. Therefore, the law is slacked. It is, isn't it? Isn't the law slacked? It sure is. All you have to do is open up your eyes and look around. The law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. You know why? You know why that's true? Because there are so many of Satan's people running the world today. I hate it, and I get tired of it. I'm sort of like Habakkuk. But, of course, God answered him, said, look, you just live your life and do the best you can. I'm in charge. That's basically what God said. But judgment never goes, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. You know all those people I saw on TV trying to explain the Word of God? They were the wicked in company of the righteous. If you knew the Bible and you were sitting watching that junk, you'd be going like me, out of your mind. You idiot! You call yourself a Christian. I know where you come from. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll see where they're coming from. It's hard to live with, but what we need to do is learn what the Bible says. Don't take what these people... There is an answer. There is an answer. There's no light in them if it's not according to the Word of God. For we need to learn how to rightly divide the Word of truth. In the meantime, there's only one thing we can do. Pray like crazy and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we can do. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We know that men have it all fouled up. But we can really understand it if we work at it. It's not really that difficult. It's difficult for those who are always asking the satanic, demonic question. Yea, hath God said. They look righteous. They sound righteous, but they're really self-righteous. And the bottom line is, they're just plain not saved. We don't need those people telling us what the Bible says. We will rely on the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the truth. There's a difference between those who are lost and those who are saved. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will teach you the truth. And that's what we want to know. In His name, amen. Thank you.